Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, folks. It's midnight. John's on the line. I'm going to reel him in. I was playing Ooh Child by the Five Stair Steps.
Nice choice, Hammer. So what's what axe do you have to grind today?
We're down one theologian and one up lobbyist. But I do have some hot topics tonight. I'm waiting for Don to call in, and I gave him 10-minute warning, so I don't know. He should be calling in any second.
Okay.
Basically, tonight, I did have some hot topics, John. Have you heard of Snapchat? It's kind of like Instagram.
I have not heard that actual phrase or term.
Oh,
how does it work?
Don made it. Let's reel him in.
Nice.
John, welcome to the show. John and I are both live already.
Oh, okay. Well, hi there. How you doing?
You missed the intro. It was Ooh Child, Ooh Child by the Five Stair Steps. And the reason I picked that is because a man was found on a noose this week. Another black man in Virginia was beaten by the Virginia Department of Alcohol for buying underage alcohol, and I have a story behind that one. And two teens in northern Minnesota in my hometown, Duluth, posted a picture on Snapchat of a noose of a high school student saying, "Hang them all," and they were referring to blacks. So
that's normal.
You know what I'm thinking? Even when people don't want to talk about racism, racism is in the forefront of this country these last few weeks with the Oklahoma sorority, with the guy being beat up by the Department of Alcohol and Firearms. And by the way, yes?
I told you 25 years ago that race is the number one problem that deters us from peace. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I just want to bring you guys up to speed. It wasn't the ATF. It was the Virginia Department of Alcohol Beverage Control. But the fact of the matter is they beat a 20-year-old black man to a pulp. But 2 years ago, they arrested a white sorority girl for drinking for buying a 12-pack of bottled water that they thought was, first of all, they weren't in uniform. They came and pounded on her windshield. She tried to drive away. She didn't know who they were. She had to go to night in jail. Her name was Elizabeth Daly for buying a 12-pack of bottled water, and she ended up winning a $200,000 lawsuit against them, and now, of all things, they have to wear uniforms based on that one case alone. So,
but they shouldn't have had any policing power. The Virginia Alcohol Beverage Control should not have had any police power whatsoever. They should have, and they just rescinded their police power today. But they should have had just observation and maybe intel, but not police power.
Well, actually, they did have arrest powers up until this latest incident, so I'm not sure if they rescinded it. Okay, well, did they really rescind it on a Saturday?
If it's not rescinded, it will be Monday, or it was rescinded yesterday. One or the other, but they took away the police power of the alcohol beverage control.
Okay, I'm going to give everybody a chance to talk. John, don't you see in the news lately that there's way more, ever since this Ferguson thing lit fire, luckily there was a Black Lives Matter movement, but also in Austin, Texas on Friday, people started putting stickers up for white-only signs. So, John, have you noticed a rise in the news of these types of stories?
I think we're going to see kind of ebb and flow. Sometimes we look at history from our perspective, but if we go back when I was growing up in the late 60s, we were having riots all the time. I was kind of sheltered from that, being in kind of lower middle-class family. But I remember even I wasn't immune to it on the east side of San Jose. My brother went to a school dance about junior high, and a white girl danced with a black boy, and there was a riot. A fight broke out in a riot. They tore up the dance hall, a brand-new dance hall, and Dad said, "We're packing everything up and going to the safest place in middle America. We're moving to Nebraska." And literally, so in a certain way, racism altered my life. I wanted to welcome Don. It's the dawn of a new day, and I think he's right. I think until we get to the point where we realize we're all brothers and sisters, and we're all common to this planet to share it, and that there is a higher power, right, that's, you know, put us together, that's given us the right to be together. I think when you lose that perspective, people will always be insecure, and when they're insecure, they've got to give themselves power, self-empowerment. And there's several ways. Some people do it by educating. Some people do it by being a better person. But the cheapest, easiest way is by race, because you can't change who you are. It's like, okay, you're this color, and my color is better than your color. Well, it's an automatic, easy, you know, club to sit president on. It's like, you know, I'm in, and I feel better about myself. And it's just a really cheap way, a really stupid way to empower yourself, instead of saying, I'm going to work on myself and be a better individual and be a kind person, a smart person.
I agree. And Don, what's been the most disturbing thing to you in this past week in the news?
Nothing. You've got to understand that I'm living what John just said. I mean, for the most part, I'm on the other side, looking over the fence, wondering why everybody's partying on that side when, I've got, or my family has scraps for every other dinner.
Right.
But John doesn't know this, but you have a not an Ivy League daughter, but your daughter graduated. Was it from DePaul University? She's a lawyer.
Right.
Your wife is the chair of the NAACP. You guys aren't from the rural Mississippi, and your mom was the first black police officer in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Right. No, I was brought up, and that was only an analogy. That was only a stereotypical, if you will, assessment. I am one of the fortunate people to have been brought up in a upper middle class family, and been very appreciative of it. Also, was able to take advantage of a lot of the accoutrements that come from it. Going to a Jesuit university.
Wow.
You know, I had. Well, I graduated in 4 years, and Jane didn't know me then, but I was one of the wilder people on campus. So for the most people, I graduated as a black man in 4 years at a Jesuit university, being a crazy man. So I don't know what.
Well, I was the only white person. By the way, you guys, we have a fourth caller that maybe we should bring in 1 or 2 minutes, but I was the only white person living on an all-black campus in 1980, 1 year after the Martin Luther King holiday was chosen as a national holiday, and I had a choice between going to Greensboro AT&T or North Carolina Central, and I chose North Carolina Central because 6 people were killed in Greensboro in 1979 for trying to celebrate Martin Luther King Day. So all of us have backgrounds. John's of mixed blood. He's half white and half Mexican. All of us, I haven't really suffered any real racial persecution as a white person. I was called a cracker once in North Carolina, but I survived. But basically, I guess what this show is about for me is that I'm just getting tired of these stories. Like, I think the most disturbing one was the one in New York where the man was choked, and then that movement started, I Can't Breathe.
Right.
I think people don't love themselves. And when you don't love yourself, you become insecure, and you start finding ways to empower yourself. And when you're comfortable with yourself, and like, I have friends that have conflicts with other people, and I'll ask them, why are you upset? Well, so-and-so, they said this to me, they said that to me. It's like, okay, but why are you upset? Why are you threatened by that? So they're an idiot. So they're a dumbass.
Yeah, but Eric Garner didn't have a choice to be threatened or insecure. They just choked him and he died.
Well, I probably, I don't know the full story. I'm sure there's a story behind everything in it.
I'm not sure if I'm even, I hate to say it, but I don't know if I'm even saying his name right. I believe I am.
Matter.
Go ahead, John.
It doesn't matter. They're all hanging from the trees.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's Eric Garner
it,
for sure.
I mean, no matter what your conflict is.
What about Trayvon Rice, the 12-year-old boy? He's
you mean Tamar Rice.
Tamar Rice. Yes.
That
he's
was,
my...
Bob, our other co-host, finds that the most brutal of all deaths in these recent months.
Less than 2 seconds.
Well, people react, and they don't. One thing's helped me a lot lately in dealing with crazy people is to be as calm as possible. Calm beyond, and it doesn't mean, okay, punch me in the face, I'm cool with it. But I'm just saying to get a lot of that emotion out of the way. I have a friend that watches Cesar Millan, The Dog Whisperer, and he comes into a situation with a dog. It's all freaking out, for months, even years, with his families. They can't control him. And in 5 minutes, it's like the dog's calm. He's like walking next to him. And he says, it's not the dog. It's the people. It's the energy of the owner.
Right.
And so kind of what I'm saying in some of these situations, and I'm not saying that they weren't innocent victims. What I'm saying, it depends where you're at, how you're reacting to people, the energy you put off. And it doesn't mean that these people
weren't
screwed.
Well, if you're 12 and you have a toy gun, you're not sophisticated. Now, do you guys want me to pull this caller in for a second?
Yeah, just hold on real quick. I just wanted to mention we have to watch the militarization of America. We've already put all the blacks, 43% of blacks in 43% of blacks and 46% of Hispanic males in jail or prison. But we're seeing a spike in militarization and weaponry. I'm here in Nevada. We've got many. We have probably more than 10 concealed weapon carries for anywhere from schools to pre-Ks. And so the thing is that this militarization towards blacks in particular for a reason. They call it the great equalizer, and that's your gun, and that's the symbolism for the equalizer for the male penis, the black man's penis. And so, for the most part,
God.
We are...
The highly revered male penis.
Male penis. Oh, no, the male penis is the superior thing in the world.
It's a penal colony is what's happening. But I think...
A penal code?
But, you know, one thing...
Listen, you guys, Don's home state, Wisconsin, has the highest African-American incarceration rate in the country, thanks to Governor Walker and some other yeehaws up there.
And he took over from my great state of Nevada and Governor Sandoval.
Okay, well they're
makes
probably
you wonder,
tied.
It makes you wonder, though, too, generational-wise, what values are being handed down. And by that, I mean, who's the dad? And you have a lot of cases, single mom trying to raise, you know, three or four kids. Multiple, you know, I mean, the joke used to be in my neighborhood, it's like, what's the most confusing day for black children? Father's Day. This is
okay.
My dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
I don't think
that's very nice, John, because you know what?
No. That's the joke.
That's the reality.
Fifty percent of children in America now, black or white or Asian or whatever, are herded by single parents.
Right.
So
and that's why the Koch brothers and people of their ilk don't care about the poor white people. Poor white people are in the same boat as any immigrant or any Indian or anyone. They're not welcome. And they're meant for extermination, actual physical extermination.
Let's bring in another brilliant mind. 240, you're on the air. Did you want to talk or listen?
I'll mention something really quick. I'm from D.C., Washington, D.C. My name is Ty.
Hi, Ty.
You know, this nation has grown astronomically over the last couple of decades, and you're not going to get any more land. That's just the case. And whenever you get a nation growing with this many people, you have to stratify. It doesn't matter where you are, you're going to end up stratifying. People are going to cannibalize each other economically. Now, the reason why, let's say, someone who's Mexican who comes here doesn't get persecuted the same way or in the same ways as somebody who's black, or the reason why someone who's Chinese doesn't get persecuted in the same ways is because they come from a nation already, or at least their parents come from a nation. And so you got to understand, this is a global economy where it's about trade power. Like with Mexico, we still get a lot of sugar from Mexico. We have deals with Mexico to help them reestablish their nation. And so that controls a lot of what goes on at our borders. So as the cities are packing, they have to find ways to make revenue, because you have to understand that the legislature, those people up in Congress, even though you have two senators from each state and then you have House members, each state has their own government with their own senators and House members. And the power of those people who are up in Congress rests on who they have in their state government. So when they pass bills to get money out of people and do this and build these task force for police and stuff, and like with the alcohol beverage control centers, state-owned alcohol regulating bodies giving them police, that's about getting revenue to build state power.
I do agree with what you said in the beginning about like the clash of civilizations. About 40,000 people moved to Duluth, Minnesota from Chicago in the last 10 years. A lot of them moved up here for social services. Whether they did or not doesn't matter. There's a clash of civilization, but the behavior of those federal agents treating college students badly really has nothing to do with population, in my opinion.
I would agree with that, but you know, something to kind of point out is I think there's a certain point. We all are victims at a certain point. You know, we get taken advantage of. I'm half Hispanic, half white. I dealt with a gal this week. She's 23. Just got her car. like a month ago, and she's calling me up, my tire's low, what do I do? Now, when I was 16, before I even could drive, at 13 I had a car. By the time I was 16, I had a bank account, savings. By the time I graduated, within the year, I had my own apartment, my own place, my own game going on. This gal's 23, in college, doing the eight-year plan, and doesn't have her bank account, just open it up, doesn't have a job skill, doesn't know how to, credit card, how to negotiate in the world, how to even put air in the tire. And I have to go back to parents, and she's not a single mom situation. It's like she's had dad there. And at some point in the Hispanic community and in African American, someone has to stand up and say, listen, we need to mentor. We're not doing the job. Our kids need to be smarter. Yet we're not going to get a break. We're not going to get a break from the man.
I think in the spectrum of Ty's, what he's talking about is, Ty, I lived in Los Angeles 17 years, and places like Escondido and between LA and San Diego had, some of the towns there had 70% illegal immigrants. They were fully functioning, whether they paid taxes or not, it didn't matter. They still managed to get by, and maybe some were even taken advantage of. But basically, are you talking about the clash of civilization, or just America can't handle the influx of people?
It's a little bit of both, because let's say, like, I grew up in a rural country town, so we didn't really, I had agriculture credits in elementary, middle school, and high school. That's how, agriculture focused we were. We had skills. I did not have to resort to doing desperate things to eat, because we had, number one, we didn't have a whole lot of regulation on zoning and stuff like that, so everybody had patches of land. And if you could grow something in season, you could subsidize your own food. Aside from that, we all had skills. We had skills we learned in high school, so we made money, and we had businesses. Now, when you move into the inner cities, you give up a lot of that freedom, because it's a bunch of infrastructure, and there's not a lot of free enterprise for you to do a lot of stuff without going through this regulation and that regulation. And so,
okay, but you grew
you
up in a small
school,
town, so did you have relatives to rely on?
We all took care of each other, because we all did one thing or another. Like, my uncle was a mechanic. My other uncle, everybody was volunteer something, because you weren't going to see a fire department come down from miles and miles away. So we had volunteer EMTs. We had volunteer firefighters. We had to take care of ourselves.
I mean, in tribal terms, I mean, you had leaders, you had mentors, you had teachers, you had council. And the thing is, with kids, is they're in the city, they're going to school for 12 years. They come out, and the first thing is, well, you need to take a math class and an English class. Well, do you know how to count and use a calculator? Do you know how to pick up a phone and say hello and write a letter? It's like, let's move on to, you should be ready to get some kind of job skill, some kind of technical training. And kids come out and it's like, well, I've taken, some poetry classes, and I've got some, took music and some, and that's great. But it's like, what's your work skill? This gal that I was talking about earlier, I counseled her when she was 18 and 19. I said, in the next 1 to 2 years, get a skill, whether it's a nurse, a dental assistant, a paralegal, whatever. Get a skill to support
John,
this habit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand where you're going with this, but now we have a fifth caller, and John's hardly said anything. So, for those of you who just joined, though, I just want to mention one of the topics was a smaller news story about two Minnesota teenagers who posted a black man with a noose on Snapchat and said, "Hang 'em all," and they're unfortunately, they're from Duluth, Minnesota, where I happen to live right now. But so, John, I think this discussion relates to mentoring teens. But what were you going to say,
right,
Don?
Oh, I was going to say,
mentoring
there was something,
no,
there was something
mentoring
with Don.
Mentoring parents.
Let Don talk a second.
Oh, I just wanted to mention regard to Don is that at the beginning of the show, we were going to talk about something that Don has or has put together, Snap, and I wanted to make sure we got to that. That we promoted that or dealt with it?
Because Snapchat, I don't know anything about, but it's I guess an internet social location that goes away after 20 seconds or something like that.
It's like Instagram, only you're right, it is time sensitive.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you guys want to take it? Do you think it's too much to take in a fifth caller? Because I only have four minutes to do it. Then we have 15 minutes overtime.
Okay, because I don't know if we answered the gentleman from D.C.'s question, but part of it was social economic, and the only thing to satisfy or remedy that would be restitution, repatriation? What is it when you
repatriation?
No, that's not it. Anyway, that would be the way to do it for
Don. You have 2 minutes to answer You have 2 minutes to answer Ty's question, and then I'll pull in 347 before we go into the 15 minutes overtime.
Well, Ty's question is it really wasn't much of a question. He was just relating.
More of a statement.
He was relating to the fact that from what I understand, social economic factors play into whatever person does wherever they move to. He moved to a rural town to the city, and in my estimation, people should be moving away from the urban areas into the rural areas, mainly because the urban areas are now the prisons. They are virtually, and I mentioned this before on the show, they are virtually tribal lands, ergo the Indians. And they've got a very, very intense, concentrated police force. Their jailing is there, all their food or lack of food, i.e. food deserts.
And North Milwaukee is the prime example.
Right. And you can't find a fresh vegetable for, 15 miles. So essentially, and this is in a Wisconsin that is a dairy agriculture state. And so we're talking purposeful elimination, or I don't want to say
I think what
genocide,
you're really saying is don't depend on anybody. Don't even depend on the grocery food supply.
I have my own little garden every year, and I try to make sure that everything is organic. As I mentioned before in shows, I don't eat anything from a package, a bottle, or a can. And, nothing that's processed, no foods that I can't pronounce.
Nice.
That's ridiculous. And I've never really eaten them at all. I don't eat fast food. I have a family of five kids and four grandkids, soon to be growing to five, and none of them eats packaged or restaurant food on a
reservation. Well, somehow we've gone from Snapchat bad alcohol federal agents to organic food. I'm going to pull in. I only have 1 minute
nutrition.
To pull in 347. Here we go.
Nutrition. Nutrition.
You're on
is the
air,
one.
New York.
Hey, how
you're
are
on
you?
On the air, New York.
Kenyatta. How are you?
Say what?
Can you? I'm right here. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, we can hear you perfect.
Hello. Your mentoring has a place. The challenge in an imperial slave system is mentoring for what objective? Are people going to be mentored to live on the tribal level, which it means it's hard to compete against the machine.
Right.
It seems as though many of us are being forced into hunter-gatherer type lifestyles, which puts us way behind the eight ball when it comes to economic and political and military empowerment, meaning we may survive, but we're pushed into, okay, we can eat. That's what we've been doing for a million years. Now the next step is, well, we can eat, but why is this machine controlling our lives unless the objective is for many of us to just live in small communities, and when the police are ready, they just roll in and arrest. When they're ready to pass laws that say you can't grow your own food because there have been some issues of people getting sick, and now it has to go through the system, just like in Hawaii. They banned the locals from growing pineapples. So the system itself also needs to be fixed simultaneously as we identify ways to be hunter-gatherers in the event of, having to live on that level.
Well, it's a brilliant point. And I guess here's a question I would ask you, too, is what's the
very
future for man? You know, is man going to be working for machine? Because it just seems like I'm there to make my computer's life easier every day.
Yes.
And my computer's figuring out it doesn't really need me for a lot of things.
Yeah, see, just
in
like
20,
the gun,
20 years
the computer is not the problem. The gun is not the problem. The machines are meant to complement us. The problem is the rich, powerful folks are creating things to enslave us. If we find ways to tie into our cyborgs, they actually could be the ones to defend us when the bad guys decide to try and attack us. We need to find ways to use our brain to extend it via electronic circuitry and then crush the machine. That may be one of the solutions.
Wow.
It'll never happen because we won't be able to crush the machine.
Remember in the 70s there was the band...
Go ahead, John.
In the 70s, there was the band Devo, and the concept, although it seemed bizarre at the time, was the only way to survive was to de-evolve. Because the progression we're going at is like an uncontrolled cancer, or technology is growing so fast. The question I always have, the big question I feel is, it's not can we? Because, you know, Obama's thing was, yes, we can. It's like, it's not can we, should we? Like, we just jump into technology and new ideas and go, let's go full force, you know. Oh, here's a new drug. We just tested it. It's safe. Let's go. It's like, wait a second. How long have you been testing this? You know, what are the implications when the music industry goes to CDs? Do you realize you can't control the product now? People are burning CDs and the artists don't get the money. We don't think. We're just jumping through hoops. And then, we got a problem now.
I have to say something.
Right,
I can see the gist of where you guys are going with this, but let's just say you're an average citizen who works a 40 to 60-hour job a week, and you just want a society that's altruistic, that you want to do good for others, and you want a society that you can edify. So even with all the technology and all the complications we have and burdensome law enforcement, how are we going to achieve the goal of modifying racist comments, and should the mass media carry every little story about racism?
Well, soon enough, we will have both the de-energizing of machines, because they will have zeros after every bank account and every medical record, because they all have been hacked away. Race is something that evolves, it's cyclical. People have to understand the black race, and that's what they're afraid of. That's why white people are afraid of. The black race was the original race. It's just been proven time and time again with fossils, things like that. The Bible, Jesus is black. The Moors, those unheard of or unremembered years before B.C. and after B.C., A.D., they were Moorish. Moors were blacks. Blacks ruled the world.
Well, I don't believe, Don, I believe the first man was born in Africa, but Jesus, in my opinion, was not black. He was Middle Eastern.
Well, if he wasn't black, he probably had a nice tan.
Ham was black.
All righty,
no,
then. Middle Eastern
was
black, honey.
His
hair was wool, his skin his feet were bronze. That's not pink.
I love sports.
Can I say that a part of the problem is that that from a religious perspective, some very good people do not do research and think outside the proverbial box. The term Jesus Christ didn't even exist during Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic times. Jesus, there was no J, and Christ is just a title. So if you remove that, then you have to say, well, who was he? So that's the foundation of misnomers. The second thing is people say God. God is a proto-Germanic term that was a pagan term. It comes from Gudan. As we learn more about spirituality, what we find is that just like the system lies to us about beliefs and the truth, they're lying to us about religion. Now, why would they do that? Because if we go back to the history, we find that before the Hebrews, the Hebrews learned from the Mesopotamians and from the people of Kemet. So then you have to say, well, even people in Kemet believed in myths. So maybe religion is more mythological and cosmological that we take and create something that we don't understand and put names on the sun and the stars,
okay,
when in actuality it's all math and science.
I do have relatives. Wait, I have relatives in Arizona. I know that the letter J did not exist, but technically his name was Yeshua under the Hebrew God. I don't care what his name was. I do believe in Moses and the Bible, but you can't just intellectualize it. There's two strong Christians on the air.
Well, one thing, though, I'm very open to stuff.
Spirituality. The whole spirit of the whole religious thing is a misnomer, because everyone is spiritual, and spiritual doesn't have to have a singular origin or moniker.
Well, one thing too I've kind of worked with,
yeah,
and that is the fact is I wasn't there. I wasn't there. I wasn't there when God.
All
created
I know
the
book.
So it's kind of crime.
His hair was woolly. His hair was woolly, and his hands and feet were bronze. I don't care. That's not pink.
I know that the first man wasn't Christian and he wasn't Jewish. He was just a man, and he had a relation with God, and that relation got broken somehow, and we've been trying to make it back. I think that in the future of the world, I think people need to voice their opinion. They need to be who they are, even with their prejudice. I just think we've lost some of the concept. We've tried to get God out of our schools and out of our kids' minds. So we're giving them information and technology. We're not giving them spiritual or strong morality. So they're taking, you know, when the tech and these ideas come along, when evil kicks in, it goes to the worst denominator. But if we can kind of look at our, you know, the foundation or principles of what we want the core values to be, I think we can deal with you know, people that are racist. I mean, it's like it's not going to go away. It's a part of it. But I think the problem is when people take that freedom to the level of physical violence and of manipulating by force, that's where you cross the line. You just can't do that. But to say you're going to be equally minded and you're going to love and respect people and I'm going to force you to do, I got a gun to your head, I don't think that's going to work in the future. I think it comes from your
heart. Working right now. ISIS has
we have 8 minutes
a
left.
Good shot at it.
We have eight
ISIS
minutes
is,
left, and I'm taking the caller from 661 in. I didn't think I was able to because I thought he jumped in after the record part. So here he is, 661.
Bring him in.
Bring him in.
Be bold.
Hello. It's Jane from BTR. Who are you, 661? Okay, apparently he doesn't want to talk. Ty from DC, would you like to say something? You haven't spoken in a while.
I think that at some point it will become an issue with religion. For some reason, humans fall into the same patterns every so many years. So they will probably try to either integrate it all or do away with it at some point, just so people can get to a point of inclusion. But, I mean, we'll always end up back in the same place we were in, because that's just human behavior.
Good.
Go ahead. Spirituality, often people try to make it seem as though spirituality and religion are mutually exclusive. Like if you roll a dice, you can only typically get a 1, 2, 3, or 4. A human is, in effect, spiritual because we're simply vibration. So if you really evaluate the word spiritual, we're all spiritual. But what happens, my parents have done this also, is they say, well, if you're spiritual, you must be religious. Religions are man-made. I think that it's important to also understand that when we discuss race, we're one race, Homo sapiens sapiens. The issue of racism was created by racists so that they could divide populations, and the average imperialistic citizen wouldn't think anything if other people were killed and their land was stolen. There's nothing wrong with ethnic diversity. We should be celebrating white culture, black culture, Native Indian culture. But what has happened is we have been told by the slave master that we all have to join a melting pot. We all should be unique individuals, proud of who we are, but not abusive of other groups, and respect the fact that we're all family from Africa.
And we can't be colorblind.
Yeah, that's
we're supposed to be directed or led now towards colorblindness, and all these things that you prefaced at the beginning of the show is happening, where we've got people lynched, we've got people shot, we've got people yelling that their sorority or fraternity will never be broken. So, you know, we've got these things happening. So the answer is not the black man or the Mexican or the Chinese or the Indian person. It's the white man's problem. The white man has a tremendous cross to bear, and he can't bear it because he's not really smart enough to do it. And
by the way, it's not all whites, though, brother. Here's what is happening.
It is the
royal families and the priests and the people in charge. The average white person is a serf. They have been a serf for the past probably 2,000 years.
But the royal family is white.
What, Don? The white man's burden is slavery to money and dividing property and everything in a monetary fashion. I'm a white woman, and even from a young child, I was drawn to black culture and the black struggle and Native American issues. So it doesn't matter what race we're born into. It matters what race we identify with. I didn't abandon my own
experience.
Race. Yeah, I didn't abandon my Scandinavian roots. But I did identify with the black civil rights movement because I was born in the 60s.
But your mom, your grandfather and your great-grandfather weren't slave owners or didn't teach at the family dinner table you to sing songs about Black Sambo. Then there are billions of other families that do. I was kicked out of 3 white homes for dating their different white homes for dating their white women, and I just could laugh because it was sad. I'm laughing at these people who don't understand love, and that was one of the things that I wanted to bring up in this segment, is that love has been trounced on the white man, and it is the white man. He does not know what love is anymore, and it is really a sad situation. Especially when they profess going to church, being religious and family folk, and they are bent on destroying families of every race and kind and creed.
Well, you guys, we only have 2 minutes to wrap the show up. I'm not going to do a conclusion. Would somebody else like to?
Well, I think one thing about it is I wouldn't say the total solution, but you have to start somewhere, and you can either make things better or worse. And you have to talk about things, and you have to start to understand. And even if it's one or two people, every movement starts with one, someone who stands up. So I think just talking about it and kind of getting some perspective is a great start, you know. And it's I think that whether you're white, black, or yellow, or red, or whatever, whether the color of skin, you'll find people in power manipulate. You know, even Jews in prison camps were manipulating other Jews for position.
Right, it doesn't matter the color for manipulation.
So it kind of comes down to the heart, you know, man's greed.
In this time in history, the white man does have all the power, but it doesn't matter. But I wanted to mention before we leave, please pay attention to the Common Core curricula. It is the worst thing in the world. It is especially bad for minorities. Our children will be screwed. They will be pigeonholed after third grade. We here in Nevada, I am fighting Nevadans against Common Core, and it is a very divisive issue that I would like for everyone to take a look at for future reference.
Yeah. Great fight, John. And also, if we could realize that sexism, notions like racism are just tools used to separate us. If we fall for the tool, then what happens is we forget that they're just a ruse to to keep the little yellow brick road and rail controllers in power. We have to unite to fight to do what's right, y'all.
Nice point, Jack.
That was a perfect ending. The show's going to end in 1 minute. We have 7 callers on the line. I'm sorry, 661 couldn't join us. The name of the show is